SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very happy Thanksgiving week, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebick.com. From very rainy, nasty upstate New York, let's get this out of the way and make for a nice thing. I haven't even looked that far ahead, but boy, I got up early, and Tina and I had a busy weekend, and first order of business, I suppose I should include, is a big thank you to everybody that was so nice about the birthday, and ended up being a really nice birthday weekend. Not that we're, you know, not that you can seemingly do some of the things you normally would. We stayed in Friday night, didn't go out and have a big birthday dinner and whatever. We're just looking forward. We got Spencer and his roommate coming. That's it. Although I haven't heard from Seth. We'll see about Seth Merrill. I don't know. So it looks like the most we're going to have is five. And I, in fact, picked up the turkey yesterday. Picked up a turkey, 15.5 pound, Jindal, beautiful. Grand champion, says on the wrapper. A grand champion. starting to look forward. I planned the menu out, and you know, Tina will admonish me come Thursday when there'll be food. There'll be food for, you know, 18. There'll be four of us, maybe five, but there'll be enough food for another dozen people. I just can't help myself. I'm the same way, you know. Even if there's going to be a big, crowd, I just overdo. That's why Neil and I had, we tried to talk about portion control, but I'm not gonna cut my recipes in half. There'll be just that much more left over, right? Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I guess. We'll regarding the week, we're going to take tomorrow. Case, yeah, we'll take. We have not had a single broadcast day. We had one tech thing, I think, but we have not had a day off, and so I'm going to slip in one extra. Usually we're off Wednesday, Thursday, but I'm sure everybody understands. And we've got as much today as possible regarding Wednesday, Thursday, really Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then we'll spend Friday. Well, obviously Friday we'll talk a little. We'll get the Clark action in. If you haven't seen the Clark field yet, it's terrific. It's really interesting anyway. It's deep. I mean, some people, you know, might say, well, there's not a lot of grade one performers. Well, there's enough. There's code of honor. And in fact, speaking of code of honor, we're going to talk to Suge. How about Suge? Speaking of which, how about Suge Saturday, North Dakota? Unbelievable. And I was, it wouldn't have mattered actually when it came to the cross country pick five and the regular pick five. When I first put the tickets together, I had a ticket where I had the two Suge runners as C's, and I started adding it up, and I just thought, too much. I don't need to spend that. And you know, then he came flying. I mean, he really got a terrific Lascano ride. That kind of a horse, that kind of trip, it suits Lascano really well. Lascano's had a great year, very, very quietly. Has had a terrific, not so quiet. It was brought up, it's been brought up repeatedly. Him and Jason Biades have been together forever. And Lascano, I'm going to look up numbers. I'm curious, actually. But this is an important, this is a nice win for North Dakota. And usually don't do too much advance work, you know, in terms of having trainers on before their stakes assignments. But as it happens, I mean, code of honor, your focal point in the Clark. So we can certainly talk to Shug on that front. And we'll get, you know, plenty of holiday appreciation. And speaking of the Clark, and I'll give you here, let me give you a quick glance at this. If you haven't seen it yet, Crafty Daddy from McPeak, out of a nice allowance win. And it's actually, you know, horses run well. Two races since moving back to the main track. Title Ready, coming out of the Breeders' Cup Classic. Code of Honor in the three-hole, and Johnny moving over to make the trip. Multiplier in here. The six-year-old gelding. Last seen winning, or not winning, but second to Silver Prospector in an allowance. Aurelius Maximus out of the Fayette, where he just missed to Mr. Freeze. Pluska Parfait for Brendan Walsh. Out of that Thoroughbred Aftercare stake at Keeneland, Mr. Freeze himself coming out of the Dirt Mile, Bodie Express coming out of very good that return. At, if they ran this at Calder, he'd be 6-5. Owendale in here for Brad Cox coming out of the. You know, picked up a check in the Dirt Mile, finished fifth. Bourbon Calling, a late addition apparently to the field. Coastal Defense for Dale. I'm not finished by my standards, of course, coming out of the Classic. Phantom Currency for Brian Lynch and Silver Prospector. There is an AE in love for Paolo Lobo, but there's the full field for the Grade 1 Clark on Friday. Goes 5:27. So we'll talk Clark and also details as Marty McGee gave you on Friday the advance notice about Churchill not just renovating the turf course. They're going to put in a new turf course and complete the $10 million renovation and, you know, new sod and new everything. And so Darren Rogers is going to join us. And because we won't be back till Friday, we can also talk. We got the Fall City on Friday. You got the return, by the way. Speaking of Churchill, we can also talk Dennis's Moment, who is back and returns on Wednesday. Seems to be working really well. So Darren Rogers in hour two with most of the headlines coming out of Churchill the last few days, and probably give Darren a chance too to also weigh in on Kevin Flannery retiring from his decade helming the Downs. In addition to Shug, Mark Hesse too, and the news. I won't go into too much detail because we got Mark to touch on it, but the news yesterday, Ron Gierkink was in constant communication with both Woodbine and with provincial authorities in Toronto and Ontario with the, you know, the further, as Ron told you on Friday, with further tightening of COVID restrictions. Sadly, the Woodbine season is over. And then doubly sad was the rough conditions that ended up you know, canceling the card the second half, more or less, of the, what they got. I think they got four races in. And really too bad, because that Mazarine and Gray were coming later in the afternoon, of course. So Mark will give you some of the details and how, for instance, his outfit is going to deal with this. It's really too, and I know, granted, there's only 3 weeks left or whatever, you know, however many race days, you know, 10, 11, 12 race days left. But still, not the way you would have hoped, because they really did a tremendous job at Woodbine, you know, once the season was able to launch. So was kind of saddened by that. We'll talk to Mark about the mild upset in the Kennedy Road on Saturday. Ride a Comet with Patrick Husbands upsets Pink Lloyd. And we'll get some thoughts on that. Nice performance. There was also, I'll give you a quick hit there. Friday afternoon, too, that Red River Rebel wins the Frost King stake, and Field Pass went off favored, and Maker everywhere. Maker's really, you know, I know we talked Brad Cox and you know, the likelihood that he's going to win the, you know, the trainer Eclipse. Mike Maker deserves some votes, it would appear. Maker's had a spectacular year. And, you know, his horses have been running, you know, everywhere. And he's picked out spots brilliantly. And the Ontario Derby has Kimura aboard for Field Pass. The Old Wellings and Kevin Attard. Mervilo wins that Damsel and the Kennedy Road I told you about. The Bessarabian, Wesley Ward, Artie's Princess, also Kimura. So they did get in quite a bit on Saturday, but they lost the Mazarine and the Gray, which is really too bad because they both were terrific. So you'll have to see how those, you know, where those horses scatter. So we'll get Mark to provide some insight. And speaking of stakes action, we told you about North Dakota. The other graded stake on the weekend, there were two others. And the Chalukie, Finite. I tried to kind of reach around and find a couple different options, but Finite was too good. And Finite, the Ron Winchell homebred, the Munnings filly, and Ricardo Santana Jr., fresh off a birthday the other day, and Steve Asmussen wins the Chalukie. The other stake, how about Samantha Siegel? Richard Mandela and Extra Hope wired that Native Diver. And as Jay Privman had suggested, the filly ended up coming out. And so you had a four-horse field, but Native Diver just, you know, went to the front and improved the position, as Jay likes to say, wire to wire. That's a nice win. And frankly, Samantha came very close yesterday as well, came very close to winning the other stake, the Cary Grant. Got overhauled late. Loudmouth, the Steve Knapp trainee, Thompson Racing, Abel Cedillo, 13-1, $28 winner in a, what ended up being, what, a seven-horse field? Yeah, three horses ended up scratching out of there. It still was a good group and a fun group, like we talked about Friday. Galilean, it kind of just went around, kind of chased, you know, from up close early, and El Tigre Terrible didn't really mount much of a charge. And Loudmouth with a very nice, this is a boisterous colt, cute name, out of Drama Cat, a Tommytown bred, And that's a nice win. That's a nice win for Knapp and company. So, but Samantha got the grade at stake. I'll mention while we're doing this on Del Mar, the two maiden races, the two important maiden races that we talked about with Jay, the fillies on Friday, Saturday, and the boys yesterday. Well, wow. Start with yesterday. Life is Good was absolutely as advertised. I mean, that was very, very impressive. The Into Mischief colt, Gary Mary West, bred but purchased by China Horse Club and Windstar as a Keeneland yearling, 5 1/4, could not have been more impressive, and was really not asked. I mean, just unbelievable. Very, very impressive. We'll see about, you know, how quickly Baffert challenges him, but this was a pretty good, Life is Good debut. Mike Smith, who was like a statue sitting aboard. I mean, there was never in doubt. So we'll see. That got people talking on Saturday in the Philly version, the Philly race, 6 1/2. It was also Baffert, but that Empire House, which Jay also noted, Jay said after the after Exotic West, the hard-spun filly for Gary and Mary West, homebred, out of the Broken Valmare mispersonality. Exotic West wins as favorite, but paid 620, but 24-1 on Empire House. That was the $500,000 Jonathan Wong. And Jay said after the obvious that, you know, that was the one to keep an eye on, and absolutely ran great. So if you keyed into that, dollar exacta with the 2-1 favorite paid $40, paid $40.40. I didn't look up a fig on this. So that was, you know, the action at Del Mar, and, you know, Del Mar's weekend. I'm looking forward to Friday to talk about everything going on there. They've got themselves positioned for, if you haven't looked at the cards yet, Thursday, Friday, Saturday's all drawn, and really good. Really good. The Hollywood Derby and the Seabiscuit and so forth. A really nice, the Turf Cup, the Hollywood Turf Cup, where you got a lot of the usual suspects, but still, it's very, very good. And there's lots of good allowances that are in and around. It's a very nice set of cards that are in the offing at Del Mar. The only, I guess, yeah, they got the Saturday drawn. The rest, New York and Churchill, they're on their regular schedule from here. So Saturday, Sunday will be drawn Wednesday, Thursday. But there's a lot already for you to peruse. New York, you got the Calmly. That's on Friday. No Thanksgiving racing, actually, in New York. Plenty, as always, to keep us busy. And in addition, we should mention, you got two openings. Don Stevens is going to join us in hour three from Delta Downs. And, of course, the first order of business with Don is finding out if there's a hurricane. Because for those of you that follow Don Stevens, it was the craziest summer and you know, the hurricane season down there. He had to, you know, batten down at least twice, right? And I think even a third time, and I think one of them was a misfire, but I think he had at least two separate direct hits, and you know, we were all kind of worried for him, I got to ask him. I mean, obviously they're going to be thankful in Vinton, Don, you know, to get the season going and that everything, knock on wood, everybody's safe and healthy, right? That not a good hurricane season. So we're going to talk to Don and catch up. There's also Fairgrounds, and tried to get Marcus Hirsch, but we're not going to be able to talk to Marcus until Friday, all right? So Marcus on Friday, and the traditional Thanksgiving opener at Fairgrounds. Now, no patrons, so from that standpoint, you know, the great Thanksgiving dinner, one of the great traditions. I've got a really nice New Orleans, got quite a few New Orleans cookbooks, and they've got a couple. I think the book is called Cooking Up a Storm, and there's a couple of recipes from the racetrack, including, I think, their bread pudding, and I forget what else. The Cooking Up a Storm is a collection, unless I'm conflating my cookbooks, the collection of recipes from restaurants and readers of the Times-Picayune. And from there, they had a very famous food, I mean, in New Orleans, you would figure, they had a very famous food columnist in New Orleans for years at the Times-Picayune. And I'm sure if we got a hold of Amos, he would tell us, or Amos's brother. I got to look this up. When I take a break, I'll grab the book off the shelf. But the it's too bad that we can't have, you know, can't have patrons. It'll be all right though. That'll soon enough, everybody will be able to go back to the racetrack when they want. When it comes to going back to Woodbine, though, it won't be until next spring. Mark Cassie joins us. Mark, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Mark, let's do that hard news story first, actually. And I was kind of bemoaning the situation. It's one thing, you know, we lost the last few weeks of the meet at Woodbine, but also yesterday, track condition, the start of the card was delayed to begin with because of conditions, and then they scuttled basically the second half of the card, including the gray and the Mazarine. Give everybody, you know, the information as it was given to you.
Well, I kind of, you know, got it pretty well the same way everybody else did. You know, it looked like checking the weather forecast that it would snow a little early, but then it would turn to rain, which would have been fine, but we didn't get that. I mean, I thought they, you know, they were thrown some crazy weather, and I think they did the best they could, and unfortunately we couldn't, you know, finish the card, but safety is always first.
No, absolute. And before we talk about, you know, what you do, I guess you could fold in the, you know, the runners that were lined up for the stakes as part of this. But talk about having, you know, the last few weeks of the season canceled, essentially.
Well, you know what, Steve? As far as for us, sure, it hurts. Disappointed for, you know, our owners. We already had a much shorter season. You know, we started a couple months late. So, but to me, you know, we're fine. The ones that I'm concerned with is all the Canadian horsemen and trainers and owners. They already had a shortened season. Now You know, this is devastating for them. Unlike a lot of businesses where you can shut it down, and yeah, you might have minimal expenses. You know, horse has to get be taken care of whether they're running or not, and it's expensive. And you know, we're talking now. You know, you're talking about possibly running the middle of next April. It's just devastating. I feel terrible for you know, all the Canadian horsemen. For us, you know, we're fortunate because we made a move. One was to we're going to go to Turfway, which I haven't been to Turfway in I don't know 20 years as with the stable, but it just seemed to fit in well for us because of the Tapeta, the synthetic track. You know, we have a lot of horses that just love synthetics, so we'll have the maximum stalls there, which I think is 25, and so we'll race there. And then luckily, you know, we have our place in some of those horses will go to New Orleans, some of them go to South Florida, and some of them will go to Ocala. We'll be fine. Like I said, it hurts. From a financial standpoint for our owners, which they've already taken big blows, but I mean, this is just devastating. And I honestly, I don't know how that it's necessary. Woodbine and the horsemen have done just a tremendous, tremendous job of through the virus of keeping things under control at Woodbine you know, how many times have we seen, you know, I understand this is a terrible virus. I've had many close to me get it. And, but there's so many bad things that come, you know, when you lock down and when you stop, you know, letting people earn a living, there's consequences for that. And, I don't know. Sometimes I question whether some of our leaders actually get it.
Well, I think each scenario and each region is different. I had an extensive conversation with friends, with a good friend in Montreal Friday. And, you know, they've been exceedingly careful in Quebec, and you know are under, you know, real distinct protocols, including for, you know, coming up for Christmas, where they don't want anybody working in their offices for the 7 days leading up to a 4 day Christmas holiday, and then for 7 days after. I mean, they're taking very aggressive, you know, policy executions to, you know, to try to, you know, ride this out and to minimize things. It's hard to criticize, to me, Mark, any, you know, any aggressive actions that are, well, you know, that you are know, designed to, you know, this, talk about New this, Orleans. You're going
yeah,
down
this
to,
is way of, this is way above my pay grade. I mean, we all have opinions. We all have opinions. And, you know, it's difficult. It's so difficult because, you know, we've never dealt with anything quite like it before.
True. Yeah. Well, overall, the uniform praise for the way Woodbine worked to, you know, minimize the exposures and to keep their, you know, personnel, racetrack staff, as well as the horseman staff and everyone. And you got very close to, if it wasn't for, you know, this last, you know, recent spike.
Well, and not only that, Steve, they, you know, they maintain their purse structure, which cost
yep.
them dearly.
Yep.
You know, they're going, you know, Woodbine's going to lose a lot of money this year, but you know, we have we're fortunate at Woodbine. We have a very strong leader in Jim Lawson, the CEO of Woodbine. And then on the horseman side, and the good news is Jim's a horseman himself, so that's important. And then we have, in the HBBA, we have a lady, Sue Leslie, who is just phenomenal. You know, this is not the first time Ontario has been thrown a curveball. You know, 10 years ago or so, we had the, all once we woke up one day and the government wanted to take all the funding away and do this and that. And those guys that were in charge then were short-lived after that. They were gone, but they left Ontario and Canada in a mess. And then as things went on, they found out, you know what? They need Woodbine in the casinos more than they thought they did. And so a lot of things have happened. You know, at that point in time, Jim Lawson, again, was a big factor. And as I said, a lot of people don't realize, but Sue Leslie, the head of the HPBA, I think without those two people, we would not be anywhere close to where we are today. And, you know, this is unfortunate, but we're going to fight through it.
Well, and the horses move around. It's, you know, it's that period of time where, you know, the winter tracks, fairgrounds opening, you know, in just a couple of days on Thanksgiving. And seeing and hearing, you know, lots of South Florida and Tampa, obviously, coming up as well. A lot of movement. Kind of wrap up the Woodbine conversation.
That's what I'm doing. You know, I started working on it last night. You know, we have a large stable at Woodbine that was sitting there waiting, you know, sure, to run, and now there's not going to be races for them. I don't know if it's 100% over yet. I think the horsemen groups and everything are going to fight back against this. Whether they get anywhere is probably a long shot, but I can tell you they won't go down quietly. So they're still fighting away as we speak. You know, but I'm preparing. We've got horses, like I said, going to go to Turfway. We're going to send. We had some really nice horses in yesterday. Super Sensational. She is going to go to New Orleans and try to get ready for the Kentucky Oaks through that route, which has been so. You know, New Orleans has been key for us with David Carroll, and I just think I like the. I like the three-year-old program that they have in New Orleans for colts and fillies. So we're going to send Helium down for the greens. And he's going to go and go that route. And then Easy Time, the horse we have for Breeze Easy, he's going to go the opposite. He's going to go to South Florida. Sam Ross, he's a Florida resident, and my call, and they would just kind of like to keep them closer, so they're going to go that way. So a lot of balls in the air this morning.
Well, and you had a busy week, and we should also, as part of the conversation and to fold in some results and to speculate on some upcoming opportunities, we've got to congratulate you on Win 3000, which happened to come in Florida and come from Mrs. Weber.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, it was nice to be able to win the 3000, and then to do it for Mrs. Weber was extremely special. You know, she's been part of my life, not, you know, for probably over almost 50 years. So yeah, that was extremely special. I can remember when we won 1,000. I said, "Well, I don't know that I will win 2,000." And then when we won 2,000, I don't know if we'll win 3,000. And So we won our 3,000th race, and then we won another one the next day. And Mitch Downs, who you know well, who's been with me 40 years, texts me, 999 more to go. And according to Gary Barber, that's not even an option to not think about. He thinks I should be looking at 5,000. So, but anybody that knows Gary knows that's the way Gary Barber thinks. So, yeah.
Well, he means just for him. He just means.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He's not including Oxley and Weber or anybody. He just means.
Yeah. Anybody that knows Gary, that's him. And, I mean, talking about Gary, he's, if I ever get a little, you know, in our game, there's so many ups and downs, and, you know, but he's a guy that is always constantly keeping me motivated.
Well, some of those motivations. Let's hit a couple of results and some stake performances. And I'm going to ask you about a horse I don't think we've talked about among the 2 year olds so far in a couple of visits since midsummer. In the winner's circle, won that that juvenile filly's turf at GPW.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. We didn't talk about her. She's a filly that Live Oak, you know, race. I believe I trained her mother as well. And she went to, when they sent her down to South Florida, I think they thought she was, you know, okay. I have Nick Tomlinson, who's been with me now for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, just a wonderful young man and a sharp guy. And we got her down there, and we started breezing her on the grass, and he said to me, you know, this filly could be special. And, of course, as we've often talked about, you know, I would watch video after video of her working and watching her work on the grass, and I said to him, I said, yeah, Nick, I think she's pretty good. And so we had her in the first time out on the grass, and it came off. And I called Mrs. Weber, and I said to her, Mrs. Weber, I said, I know this filly is better on the grass, but I think we need to go ahead and give her a start. And we did, and she ran okay on the dirt, which is kind of a bad track. She ran okay. And then the stake came up, and if anybody knows me, I'm not afraid to run maidens and stakes. And I had that. In fact, the morning of the race, I talking to Gary, you know, he asked me, he said, you got anything special today running? And I said, I think I got her in the stakes. She's a maiden. It wouldn't shock me for her to win. And, you know, she kind of ran up to our expectations. She stays happy and healthy. She could be a pretty good horse in the future.
She, looking at the female family, second dam is Sweet Cat of Mine.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
Really nice.
That family's been good to me. So, we were excited about her.
Stay on the filly, storyline, and speaking of maidens that tried stakes and did okay, you got the breakthrough with Road to Romance, speaking of Gary Barber. This is the quality road filly out of the Vindication mare, and run five times. That was a big step forward.
Yeah, she's been disappointing to me. Early on, she faked me out a little bit. I thought she was maybe a little better horse than what she's proven so far. She's extremely, extremely fast. And you know, when you're getting these young horses ready, especially, you know, in April March and April and even May, you have to base your opinion on a lot of times speed, and so some of them will fake you out a little bit. And she, even though she won yesterday, she ran a decent number. I think she ran 71 or something yesterday by her. It was good. It's still not what I expected out of her, and maybe we haven't figured her out exactly yet. She won. She was disappointing to me. She's been disappointing.
Right. Yep. How about the stake? Let's talk about the Ryder Comet's performance. And
that one goes the exact opposite. I think you and I, I had this conversation. I don't really remember who I had it with, but somebody asked me, of all your wins this year at Woodbine, what one had impressed you the most? And I think a lot of them thought I would come up with a stake win. Instead, I came up with when Ryder Comet came back off a 26-month layoff to win an allowance race the way he did. That was the most impressive, maybe of all year long for us. The ease he did it, how fast he ran. And so what happened with Ryder Comet is he won the Del Mar Derby, and then we shipped him to New York to run in a race up there. I think it might have been, I don't know, remember. I want to think it was a grade one, but maybe it wasn't. And he trained a couple days at Belmont, and he came up with a significant tendon. So we brought him home, and we gave him almost a year off like we normally do. We've had, knock on wood, we've had great success. We've had two horses that have bowed in the past that have come back and won grade ones. So we've had great success with it, and we do it a certain way. And we got that sun gun. We got him back up pretty close to going to the races, and he bowed again. But it was actually in a different spot on his tendon, same leg, different spot. And, we gave him another year off. And knock on wood, he came out of his race really well. I see where he got a 95 buyer. Yep. So let's see. Well, hopefully this tendon will stay healthy. And I was just trying to kind of figure out. He's so versatile. He's so good. There's an outside shot that you could see him. He may run in the Pegasus grass going a mile and 3/16. You know, he's won a grade two going a mile and an eighth on the grass. I don't know if you know, but, he's also the half-brother of Taprit. So, of course, he's got a huge pedigree. I'm hoping someday that, he'll be standing stud somewhere. He deserves to, because he's an extremely, extremely talented horse.
Now, he's got that Del Mar Derby win, and then he folds in this grade two sprint win. So the versatility, and he's a candy ride, and you mentioned the family, Peeling Zophie, and there's a lot to like here.
He's a pretty horse, and he's got a ton of class. He's got a ton of class. So
nice. And Len Riggio stayed in.
I told the story to the blood horse the other day. During all his layup time, I have a teenage Colby at 17. He's a pretty good baseball player. And during the epidemic, none of the boys could practice because all the parks were closed. So we built a field next to our house, a baseball field, and the boys would come and practice. And he would sit there and watch everybody play. Balls would foul off and go into his his paddock, and he'd run over and look at the ball. So he's kind of a pet. He is right, a comic.
Well, nice win, and the 5-year-old. Continue forward, and I mentioned when we were handicapping it with Ron Gierkink the other day, you've really been deliberate and careful at the way you've handled Super Stonehenge, and the fact that you were willing to run him in this spot, Mark, I thought was a real endorsement, and at 9-1 plus, he absolutely justified the confidence.
Well, he's a talented horse.
Yeah.
He's a talented. Now, him, who knows how good he would have been. This is, you're seeing all this after having throat surgery. And it was a serious throat surgery. So, extremely talented horse as well.
The horses that we're going to participate, we should slip this in too. You mentioned Helium and, you know, how you're handling that. What about Easy Time? Did you mention him, the not this time?
Yeah, Easy Time's going to go to South Florida.
Okay.
As I said earlier, Sam Ross and Mike Hall both spend a lot of time in Florida, and they'll go down. He'll go down and train at Palm Meadows, and this is so we have a little bit of a transition period where I've found, you know, these horses that have run on the synthetic, and it takes them a little while, so we'll adjust down there and see how they train. But I could see him either running an allowance race or maybe the first of the year, the Mucho Macho Man going a mile. But we like that horse a lot. We do.
And you said Super Sensational to New Orleans to go the Fairgrounds Oaks route. And what do we say about Sleek Lynx?
You know what? She is going to come home for a bit. And I think she could be a really nice filly next year. So we're going to bring her home, give her a little break, and just aim for the spring with her.
Very good. I've got a request. California Lily, looking for an update.
Yeah, you know what? California Lily, she's had some issues behind. It's one of the reasons we were able to get her for the price we did. We didn't pay a lot.
Yeah, you talked about this. Yeah.
Yeah, and she re-aggravated that herself a little behind in that race. The next morning, you could tell she wasn't a happy camper. So she's in Ocala rehabilitating and could pop up at, you know, anywhere. I haven't really decided. May show up on the grass. But I just, when she's happy and healthy, she's a good horse. So I would just not worry much about how she ran the last time.
Very good. I got to ask you about some upcoming starters, because so far this week, for the places that have already taken entries, you've got a bunch of potentially interesting maidens, and I do see that we got one of Mrs. Weber's that goes back to Zoftig, the Zoftig family, and I'm curious what Super All-Star, and also you got Silky Warrior. This is coming up on Friday at Gulfstream.
So far, they've just kind of trained okay. You know, we're going to... they've trained okay. I can't sit here and give them grade, you know, where I'm overly excited yet, but you know, it's crazier things have happened, so we'll just have to see. I'm one that tends to like to run them and not make a whole lot of predictions until you see them run a few times.
Well, you've also tipped your hand for listeners a couple of times over the years.
I tell you the horse that I ran yesterday, and I may end up being wrong, and he ran okay yesterday. He was against the, you know, it was a tough racetrack, but Ghost Liner, a horse I ran at Churchill yesterday for Mr. Oxley, I think that horse is a pretty good horse. He ran okay yesterday, like I said, probably wants a little more ground, and you can't base anything on a racetrack that he ran yesterday, but I wanted to just kind of get him started, so we got that accomplished.
I saw finished fourth, I think, and...
Yeah, he did.
The Fairgrounds action rolls out. You got a Louisiana bred SWAT analysis.
Yeah, I like that horse. He ran okay first time. The truth was I was expecting a little bit more out of him, but as often, you know, our horses a lot of times need their first start. So he should run good. I think Brent Calhoun's got a pretty tough horse in there, but I think we'll make him run for his money.
Also at Fairgrounds, I want to ask you about the turf horse that you've got for Bob Edwards. And this is a See the Stars that was bought at Tattersall's. transient.
She's trained good. The problem with, you know, being in Kentucky is it's very difficult to get to breathe those horses on the turf, where that's, you know, that's what she's going to. That's why I like, a lot of times, if you see me send horses to South Florida, the reason for that is so they can breathe at Palm Meadows, because Palm Meadows has such a great turf course, training turf course, and it's also nice at Woodbine, and that's what that's the one downfall I will say about Kentucky. So for her, I mean, her pedigree says, you know, grass. So so far, she's kind of trained just okay.
And I had one more for you.
I will say this about Super All Star. I would expect her to move up on the grass, so hopefully it, you know, we stay on it. But yeah, I would expect her to move up on the grass.
How about Palazzi in the ninth on Saturday? This is a Pioneer of the Nile.
He's been disappointing. Thought he would run better than he has. We're kind of keeping our fingers crossed. He's a horse that my feeling is he's too good not to be good at something. You'll hear us say that quite often. And I'm just hoping it's grass.
Well, Mark, obviously a ways to go yet, and kind of the shifting of the Woodbine staffing and horses out and about. I do see that you're going to employ Arietta, and this is somebody that kind of got on everybody's radar screen during early pandemic time, when, you know, we were down to just a handful of racetracks, and got to watch him at Fawner and then off to Canterbury, and he's really, I think, continues to kind of march up the ladder.
Yeah, he's winning a lot of races. First time ever riding for us, but hey, we'll see.
I love it. Anything? How about some of the weekend action? Some of the stakes. I haven't seen anything. I don't think I noticed anything so far at Churchill Thursday, Friday. What do you got for the weekend?
I don't think we have anything. No.
Okay.
No, I don't think so. We kind of got, you know, with Churchill and the turf course. Unfortunately, we were excited about running Hendy Woods, and we had to scratch her.
Oh, that's right.
The race
that's
came
right.
off the grass. And so welcome to 2020.
That's all right. You've had plenty of your share, and I suppose we should also say goodbye on the War of Will front. Took a shot back on the dirt.
He just can't take horses all around him, and he just was kind of covered up the entire time, and he never ran. But he's got a better life now ahead of him, and I was just delighted. You know, the plan was with Gary, we got Stormy was in the sale, he had put a number on her, and he said, if she doesn't bring that, we're going to run her another year. Well, I was watching the sale and went over that number, and I got sad. I was sad. I was with my wife, and I said, well, I guess she's gone. And then, of course, I found out about 10 minutes later that Spindthrift had bought her, and I thought, well, maybe they're just going to breed her, you know. And again, I'm depressed. But, and then about 45 minutes after she sold, I got a call, and it was from Ned Toffee, and I was like, well, he's just probably asking me, you know, what they should do with her as far as turnout or whatever. And he said, I'm going to ask you a question. I think I know the answer. He said, we're going to run her another year. Would you like to train her? And I said, well, no. So we have her. She's in Ocala, and having a little rest right now.
Excellent. Well, I wanted to give you a chance on that front. Mark, best wishes for a happy Thanksgiving. Where are you going to spend it?
We're going to spend it in Ocala.
Yeah. Okay. Nice. Nice.
Okay. Well, you have
excellent.
A great day.
Mark, I appreciate it. Mark Cassie, everybody, and you follow Mark on Twitter, Mark E. Cassie, and obviously between a new string at Turfway and Fairgrounds and South Florida, plenty to keep track of. We're approaching the top of the hour, and Shug is going to join us. Case, what do you think? Get Shug in here first, or do you want to take the break? Rich Migliori, by the way, I forgot to mention, Mig is going to join us. All right, Case is going to call Shug. So we'll break after Shug, and then we'll come back with Mig, and we've got a visit as well with Darren Rogers, and talk about, you heard Mark reference the turf course and the situation that kind of spun out a little bit there at the end of here at the end of the season. Still got some time. They've got what, the weekend, and then yeah, that's it. There we go. So they're winding down. We do have got the 2-year-olds still to talk about. So that'll be they'll draw those yet. And speaking of 2-year-olds too, we got a couple to ask Shug McGahee about. But first of all, we get Shug in to congratulate him on the Red Smith win. North Dakota, who was ridden to a T by Jose Lascano. Shug, congratulations.
Thank you, Steve. I thought he'd run good, and he did run good, so that was a good thing.
Talk about the way you've approached this horse, because obviously with this pedigree, he's an important property, and you did a masterful job bringing him along, and never lost patience or confidence.
Well,
or maybe you did.
No, I didn't. I mean, if you would have asked me the way Broke was made in Tampa, if he was going to win the Red Smith, I'd have said no, but. You know, he kind of came along. His races were good. His race over there was good. I kind of put him into some spots where I thought he'd have a good chance, like a Colonial. I thought then, I kind of reached out a little bit at Keeneland to see what actually was there, because I knew he wanted to run, a long way. And I thought he ran really good that day. He didn't have the best of trips. If he had him, I thought he would have been right there, but he was fourth, only beat a couple lengths. And he came out of that, and he had trained really well. He'd been at Fair Hill, trained really well down there, had a really good work on the Tapita before he came up here. And, his gals up here were very good. So I felt like he would run good. It was just a matter of good enough.
So
I thought it was good enough.
Well,
he'll run as far as you want him to run.
Well, and this, I suppose, this opens up, this opens up a world of opportunities. No, once he breaks through.
Well, there's a lot of long races on the turf, so I think that it does. I think there'll be a lot of spots this winter where I can spot him around, and we'll try to have some fun with him.
Well, it's a perfect way as the winter season starts to wind down, and this is a race. In fact, Boisterous just came up actually with Mark Cassie, and in fact, Shug, Boisterous. I don't know if you saw this yesterday, but Boisterous got that Cary Grant winner, Loudmouth. Mark's got a Boisterous that's running this week, and I think he won this race a couple of times.
I think he did. Yeah, I don't know. I know he was in it. I thought he won it. I knew he'd won it, and I didn't know he'd had to win with the Cary Grant. I mean, he started off with some 2-year-olds were okay, and then he kind of went off the map, and then I guess maybe he's trying to come back a little bit.
And I'm just pulling it up. He
won that race at Canada yesterday. I can't get it on my phone. The Great Stakes.
They canceled. They canceled the card, mid-card.
That's what it looked like to me. They just on mid-card, they canceled it, huh?
Yeah. They had snow and temperatures and the track condition, and that was it. And it looks like they're scuttled, in Ontario. It looks like they're done for the meet.
Yeah, no, that's why I saw that announcement. I just hadn't seen where they. I looked it up today, and it went to like a 6th race, and I looked the horse's name up, and it didn't show where he'd run. So I didn't want that.
Exactly, and those were interesting races too. I mean, there was a lot going on in there. I agree. I was very intrigued, and Mark explained what he's doing with the two girls and the two boys that he had lined up in there. And Graham Motion.
What's he doing with Helium? That's what I'm interested in.
He's Helium's going to, what did he say? Helium's going to South Florida.
Oh, okay.
He's going to South Florida. Mrs. Weber's filly is going to New Orleans for the Fairgrounds Oaks Trail. You have to ask me this.
I'm just worried about Helium because he's by Ironicus. It looked like he could run a little bit.
And yeah, absolutely.
He's going to South Florida, so we'll see from there.
There you go. And look at you keeping track of all your stallions.
Well, I knew he was in that Gray Stakes. I was telling Mr. Janney, I said, yeah, that's not a bad race, that race.
No.
And I got up this morning and went right straight to it, and I didn't, like you said, I got to like a 6th race, and there wasn't any more results.
It's funny. I was the same way yesterday. I was watching things winding down at Aqueduct and at Churchill, and then I said, "Oh, they got those stakes." I was watching a little football too, and there's those stakes at Woodbine. I went over and I was like, "What's going on here?" And sure enough, yeah, the same situation. Well,
it's too bad.
With the season, I should mention, even before we talk about some other opportunities, including Code of Honor Friday in the Clark, Dr. Mounty ran okay in the Smith as well.
Yeah, he ran good. You know, he was wide the whole way, and he only got beat in length and 3/4, and he got to pace and park this morning, and I'll try to figure out some places to run for him where he fits, and take it from there. No, I thought he ran really well.
Nice. Well, before we talk about Mrs. Danvers and the Comley and Code of Honor, maybe some recapping from the last few weeks and some Breeders' Cup thoughts as well. Civil Union went out. Some reaction to that try.
Well, I thought she ran good. You know, she got stopped around the 5/16th pole and really didn't get a run again until the toe board. She just got beat a couple of lengths. And I don't know what would happen if she hadn't gotten stopped. He was trying to kind of ease himself out. And Junior Alvarado was trying to hold him in. He kind of ran up on the horse's heels there, and he had to check her pretty good. And, that's grass racing. That's what happens, especially when you're trying to inside. But I'd rather get stopped on the inside and go wide and on turf. And so she came out of it fine. She's at pacing. Going to get a little bit of a break and then start her back up, hopefully for a spring, summer, fall campaign.
Excellent. Going to get a postscript to the Nashua try by 10 for 10.
Well, I thought he ran really well. You know, they kind of came out of there, and he sort of chased when he maybe shouldn't have been chasing. They went pretty quick the first part of it, and I think it kind of took his toll on him a little bit and set it up for the other horse to finish. But he came out of it good, and he had a really good breeze here the other day. It wasn't fast, but the track wasn't fast. But the way he did it, I was very pleased with, so we keep going forward. We're going to try him in a Remsen and see what happens.
Excellent, excellent. Been some maiden winners as well that going to get an update on, and going back about 2 weeks, Island Treasure broke through, the Hit It Rich daughter.
Well, Steve, she had trained, I trained her on the grass up in Saratoga, and she trained good on it, and I was a little bit surprised at her race, the first race, but she did rear up in the gate, and whether that got her kind of mind off what she was doing, she broke good, ran for half a mile and stopped. So we did some work on that, and she was good at the gate, and then again, she broke good and laid up there, and she ran to what my expectations were, and she's going to run back in the Teppan this weekend.
Excellent. Now I got to ask the germane question. How did Stewart bet at all? Did Stewart hit it at 33-1?
No, not that I know of. He wouldn't have bet.
I
don't know why I didn't, but
60. What was the last horse of yours that paid $68?
I can't remember. I had one long time ago pay $120-something at Churchill Downs, but I couldn't remember one paid $60.
Unbelievable. 33-1. And there's Jose Lascano again. I mentioned, Shug, as we were waiting for you, Lascano's had a wonderful year and is really under, I know everybody, fawns all over the Ortizes and so forth, Rosario. Jose Lascano very quietly goes about his business. He's not flashy, but he gets it done.
No, I agree. I've always had a little bit of luck with him, and he does. He rides his races well. I think he does his homework pretty well, and I've always got confidence when I got him.
Well, let's get some confidence level checks on Code of Honor going to the Clark on Friday, and also on Friday in the Comley, Mrs. Danvers, big post-Thanksgiving opportunities in New York and Kentucky.
Well, Mrs. Danvers has always been a little bit puzzling in some of her races that, she looked like she should win and she didn't win. And the other day it looked like she was trying to get herself beat, but she was good enough to win. But we put the blinkers on her the last time, and I think that helped her, and she seemed to come out of her race, maybe a little bit more confidence in herself than what before. And, I thought going a mile and eighth, maybe let her fall out of there and be laying up pretty close and if not on the lead and just sort of letting her do her thing. She's a tappet, so sometimes they can be a little bit funny, and maybe that's a deal with her. And so I thought it was sure worth taking a chance. Besides Jimmy Ryerson's filly, they're all about the same. It's a good place to end the year with her. After this, we'll probably give her some time off and bring her back as a 4-year-old. You always got the grass to try to at some point.
Talk about
was Code of Honor. This is what I've had on my agenda the whole time was, we weren't going to run in the Breeders' Cup. His race against Complexity was a good race, and he naturally wants to run around two turns, and he's run good at Churchill, and I just thought it was a good next stop for him, and we'll see how he does in there, and then figure out a game plan for him for next year.
Well, it's a nice, it's a big group, and he'll certainly go favored. I'm looking forward to the terrific, terrifically interesting card and addition of the Clark. You also, since we're on the this kind of a bend when it comes to the stake performers in the handicap division, how about a performer update towards Cigar Mile?
Well, he's doing really well. I was going to breeze him today, and with the weather forecast, I breezed him yesterday, and he went like a, I just they went a half and 49, but he got that 101 and change up and 13 and change. And I'll come back and go a solid 5/8 out three quarters with him and maybe blow him out a little bit. I'll just see how that work goes and go from there. But he's doing really well, and we're looking forward to the cigar mile.
Outstanding. And I also want to ask you about one offbeat, maybe not that offbeat type of a horse, but I know we talked about Scarlet Sky at some point over the summer, early fall, and another maiden breaker, and it looks like there's still upside.
Oh, I think there is. I think that, you know, he's just learned how to run, and, you know, I thought all of his races have been good races. Horse had beat him time four, came back, I think, was second or third in the stake, and, you know, then he came back and he ran really well here the other day, and he's going to run back in the Central Bank or whatever you call it this weekend. Been doing really, really well, but I do think there's a lot of upside to him.
Excellent. All right. So you got a busy weekend. All right. Now the important Thanksgiving questions. What's the Thanksgiving plan?
We'll just stay home, Alice and I, and we got two friends coming over, and we'll take it from there.
What is Allison's top item? What's her best side dish or central item?
Well, she's a pretty good cook, but her turkey will be good. But I know she's been fooling around here with some different things. So, you know, I think the turkey will be good, and I'll look forward to that. You know, there'll be pumpkin pie and those kind of things. And, you know, just kind of, you know, I'll work here a little bit on Thursday and Thursday afternoon, go home and look forward to it.
Nice. I can't remember. I know I've asked you this before about your favorite. Were you a mashed potatoes fan? Was that one of your favorites?
That's on the menu, but you didn't hear Matt say I'm a sweet potato guy, and that's on
there.
I'm
it
too,
is.
So I'll be looking forward to that.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send Allison. I last Sunday I experimented because I've never done much good with sweet potatoes. Never something my mother was big on, and I made a sweet potato souffle that comes from Mrs. Wilkes' boarding house in Savannah, and it came out really good. And Tina gave it the thumbs up. So,
was always my favorite growing up was the sweet potato sort of souffle with the marshmallows on top of it.
I always
like that. So
I'm gonna send Allison have her look at this see if it's something she wants to maybe try. And lots to be thankful for including Reeve going out and establishing himself this year.
Yeah, it's been fun. You know, I get more nervous watching his than I do mine, and he's coming to Payson Park this winter, and you know, I think he's learned a lot in his first 7 or 8 months of training. Once you know, I know when I started training, I thought I knew a lot, but I didn't know too much. And so you got to sort of put it all together. And you know, I think he's done that. I think he's learned a lot, and you know, gotten some confidence in himself and what he's done over the summer. And you know, he's going to take some babies to Payson Park along with some older horses of Joe Allen's this winter. And, you know, then he's got a few horses for other clients that he's going to bring down there that he thinks will do there. And then I think he's going to have a few to run at Turfway especially over January. And, you know, so, yeah, I'm proud of the strides he's made. And, you know, he'll continue.
Yeah, and he's had a terrific.
You want to say it took me 3 years to win one.
Well, he won that race down to Delaware. I know the stake, and he had a graded stake placing the other day, in Keeneland
brother to Mrs. Danvers, nice horse. You know, I think he's giving him a little time right now. Because they really wanted a place to run him. He was going to run him at Churchill, and then when the turf course collapsed, I think they just decided, well, let's just back off of him. We'll bring him back in the winter somewhere along the line. If he's that kind of horse, he'll have him for the April and May at Churchill.
Well, that'll be fun. That'll be fun for you to you and he can hold court down there at Payson.
I'm glad he's going to be there. But like I say, him training is not that fun for me because I get more nervous when he runs than when mine runs.
I love it. Well, Shug, very happy that North Dakota gets an important stripe on his shoulder, and maybe more to come, and a very big week and a few weeks coming up when we look at horses like Performer and Code of Honor. As always, really appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving, and we'll talk soon.
All right, Steve. Well, thank you, and happy Thanksgiving to you.
Shug McGahey, everybody. Claude Ray. And unbelievable. Always great. So much fun to talk to Shug. Let's take a break. 15 into hour two. We'll take a timeout. And Rich Migliori going to join us next. Darren Rogers ahead. Don Stevens will go down to Vinton, down to the Sabine Sand. Delta Downs. Haven't talked much Delta in a while. Of course, they've got hit hard by Hurricane and rebuild. They got a beautiful new, I saw they were putting up, Don. In fact, Don was the one who was sending out the photographic missives of the new tote board. Very cool. Stay with us. Rich Migliori, next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Don't miss a second of thrilling live racing from Aqueduct this fall on America's Day at the Races on Fox Sports. Watch Maggie Wolfendale, Andy Serling, and the entire All-Star cast bring you the best of fall racing live from Aqueduct. For full TV listings, visit NYRA.com.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at pabred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
From BRL Equine, the people that bring you EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield, now comes Flexify HA, the most advanced scientifically based joint supplement on the market. To find out more, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880. To be the best, give them only.